And I sit here and forgot one altogether, and it's usually on the top of my list. I prayed for it in my mind, but I didn't say it out loud. Let's stop real quick. Brother Allen's mom and dad. Father, too, got so wrapped up in that lost souls being here today, and I was thinking of somebody else, too, you told me about earlier, Brother Allen, and boy, my heart got broke, and I forgot about your mom and dad. So please forgive me for that. We got her took care of. Matthew chapter 5. The greatest sermon in the world, Sermon on the Mount, and it's just one of these. I've read from A.W. Pink and F.B. Meyer, and even one from Guy King, and they all seem similar to realize this is the greatest sermon ever preached. And our Lord, the Prince of Preachers, you know, he preached it, and we got to the spot last week, and we took off on year of the salt of the earth. Well, this is the week before, but I wanted to get back at the beginning of these blessed, because these blessings go so much deeper than just surface. And sometimes I feel we're running way too fast, going over top of them, and we're missing what they're really saying. And the first one here we see, and he opened his mouth, verse 2 in chapter 5, and he taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit. And we went over these thoughts of poor in spirit and what these meant. And he said, blessed are the poor, happy, or you're very fortunate, you're very blessed if you're poor in spirit. And what's this poor in spirit mean? And we had some ideas that they meant somebody, you know, that's weak in faith, somebody that's just down and out, but this here, poor in spirit, this is talking about their condition. Remember the condition you come when you be, the day you got saved? The Holy Ghost's work in His life is to bring you to a place of humility. For you to see your need. And what does the Holy Ghost do? Talk to somebody. What's He do? He reveals your need of Jesus. But what's He doing also? When that happens, what is He doing? He's eliminating everything you rely on yourself. We're very prideful people that, I don't need God. I'm okay. I'm a good person. I'm not bad, you know, and you all this self-justification we do, and the Holy Ghost says, no, you're a scumbag of the, you know, He's revealing Himself, and it's humbling. He humbles us in a way that I'm what? I'm helpless within myself to earn heaven. I have nothing within sight of me whatsoever to earn heaven's pearly gates. So the Holy Ghost, His work, He reveals Himself and He shows us who we really are without God. And it's humiliating in a way. But He humbles us, because I remember how I felt. I was sitting, and the first time God ever did it, I was in the second pew from the back, and I remember hanging my head down and realizing it's God working on my heart, and He's revealing my need inside of me. And I felt so dirty and cruddy inside. I was undone without God, and I knew it, and I'm sitting there, and God's dealing with me, and I know He is, and then the Holy Ghost is revealing. But that place, we can't even get saved till we come to that place where we're humbled. And that's what the Holy Ghost do. He takes all the self-reliance of ourselves out of the picture and brings us face to face with God. And we're standing there naked, nothing to rely on but Him and His truth. And His Word does what? It cuts right to the core. And we see our need. So, in those things, when we see our need, He eliminates it. So, this thought when Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit, Jesus had another picture in mind. Now remember, there's Pharisees here, there's Sadducees here, there's all levels of people gathered on this hillside listening to this sermon. And he says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Now, what's the world teach? The world teaches just the opposite. Blessed are the ones that's got the biggest pockets full of money. Blessed are the ones that drives the best cars. Blessed are the ones that's got the biggest house. For theirs is the kingdom of this world. Is not that the philosophy of this world where we live here? I mean, I was taught that from a child. I mean, boy, you gotta work, son. You gotta get a good job. You gotta build your house. And I watch, if the neighbors down the road got a new car, guess what my mom and dad did? They get a new car. Then mom and dad got a pool. Guess what neighbors did down the road? They got a new pool. I mean, it was like, stay up with the Joneses. You know, everybody's staying up, you know, with one another. You know, who's got the most toys when you die wins. But they did. So, in this manner, blessed are the poor in spirit, Jesus is giving a whole nother philosophy to this world that this world has never seen. I mean, they had all the knowledge of David and Solomon and some of the richest there was. But remember, boy, my mind's racing. What'd God tell Abraham to do? Who can tell me? When God spoke to Abraham, said, Abraham, leave thy father and thy kindred, and I will show thee a land which thou not knowest. Abraham, he's got security. He's got his family. He's got all his cattle. So he packs up everything and brings it with him, brings Lot with him. I mean, that had to be a humbling time, would not? But he listened. No different when God spoke to Noah. Said, Noah, it's going to rain. I'm going to clean this mess up. And you need to build this ark. And he's going, all right, Lord, I'll build this ark for you. Because it's going to... Oh, by the way, what in the world's rain? You know, I mean... Because he had to. Because did it rain? No, it's never rained. So there he was, humbling, and everybody, he's getting lumber, dealing with the world around him, you know, picking up, you know, things and wood, and everybody's watching him build this. Hey, Noah, what are you doing? He says, it's going to rain, boys. You better get on, you know. And he's working, and them boys are working. 120 years of working on this boat. Now, you ain't telling me that ain't humiliating, humbling. You ain't telling me that world didn't go, you know, and give him the business. You know good, the world we live in, and at that time they was as wicked as they are now. According to the Bible, as the days coming of the Son of Man shall be also as the days of Noah. So we're here. We know the wickedness of the world. We're in church on Sunday. We say, why ain't you on your boat on a lake somewhere? You know, and they're thinking, boy, ain't you stupid. And we're sitting on a pew listening to me. But it's humbling. You look at all the characters of the Bible. A lot of them are pulled from a place and brought to a place. You take Elijah. Man, he just had a mountaintop experience, called down fire from heaven. I mean, he stood up in the middle of 400 prophets of the grove, 450 prophets of Baal, and stood in the middle of them, and all the people gathered and said, if God be God, serve him, if Baal, serve him. He draw the line in the dirt. And there he stood. Who was with him at that time? Nobody. But he stood and said this prayer, 63 words or 69 words, something like that, for fire to come down. And right after this, he hears word that some queen's looking him up to chop his head off. And what'd he do? He run. He takes off running. And he finds him a Jupiter tree and crawls underneath of it. And this gourd grows up. And he goes, Lord, I perish. Let me die. And he just had this great, great mountaintop. But there he is. Brought low again. Just for instance, you know, the Bible characters just jump out in my mind, and I'm thinking, Jesus knows of all of them because he was there with all of them, each one. He wasn't incarnate in flesh yet, but he was there in spirit. He was there with each one, each servant all the way through the Bible. He was with each one. I mean, as much and humiliating it was when Adam and Eve stood in the garden and they ate of the fruit and their eyes were open and they're standing in the bushes going, oh shoot, we're naked, you know, and they didn't know. That was humbling. So, as we look at this, blessed are the poor in spirit. What is this? The opposite of haughty, self-assertiveness, self-sufficient, which the world admires and praises of those things. The world does. They admire self-assertiveness. You get books on them. They're everywhere. You know, a better you, you know, and you got all these things that the world does, and it is the very reverse of that independent and defiant attitude which refuses to bow to God. You get somebody that's full of pride, are they going to bow to God? No, they're not going to bow to Him. So blessed or happy or most fortunate are the ones that are poor in spirit to realize I am empty, I have nothing to give you. Nothing. So blessed, most fortunate when that person gets to that state of mind. That's the perfect place for God to do His work. And what's the devil use to get us away from that place? We get self-assertive, self-reliant, rely on me. Then we start drifting away from those things that God, at the beginning, we was humbled before God Almighty at His feet, fell in love with God, clung to Him, praised Him, realized our emptiness, our vainness, and anything I could think of, I'm empty and vain, empty of my, and to realize He is everything, that I can do nothing without Him. We can say a whole lot, we can do a whole lot all in the name of me, but what's that accomplished in eternity? Nothing. So you see, it is the very reverse of that independent, defiant attitude which refuses to bow to God, which determines to brave things out. Man, I remember them days, Brother Allen, 10 foot tall and bulletproof, you know, I'll brave it out, I'll be fine. I ain't got no worries, I'll get her done. Brother Michael, you remember those days? Determined to brave things out, which says, the same as Pharaoh. What did Pharaoh say? Who's the Lord that I should obey Him? That was his words also. To be poor in spirit is to realize that I am nothing, can do nothing, and have need of all things. Poverty of spirit is the consciousness of my emptiness. I'm going to say that again. These big words, you can think these big words. You know they didn't come from me. You can think, oh Arthur Pink, you know, A.W. Pink, he helped me with this. But I was reading it to Sharon this morning. She goes, you need a dictionary just to understand what he's saying. I said, yeah, I know. But these are one of the easy ones. Poverty of spirit is consciousness of my emptiness, the result of the Spirit's work within. It issues from the painful discovery that all my righteousness are what? Are filthy rags. You know, and we get to those places, man, I'm teaching Sunday school, I play guitar, my family sings, we testify, we go out and visit, you know, you think, well, we're doing pretty. But all my righteousness is filthy, filthy, filthy rags. So it brings us to that place of total, absolute reliance on God. That's where He keeps us. That total, selfless of me, total reliance on God Almighty to help me with everything. Brother Caleb, it was a perfect, he opened up, man, he nailed it, right? He nailed it down. washing with the Word, starting his day off with the Word, before he does anything, because I find my day to go better. And he goes, you can get by with a little 2-minute bath, but boy, a 10-minute one helps out. A little few chapters helps out a lot more, let alone if you spend 15 and kind of let the steam roll and go a 20-minute one, you know, and kind of clean all that dirty crud from the nooks and crannies, you know. But those helps. Washing of the Word. And we need that. It puts our total reliance on Him. It eliminates us. It eliminates me. It puts me out of the equation. It pulls Roger out and puts God in the forefront. Blessed are the poor in spirit. And when we went through it 3 weeks ago, and as I read back, I said, there is so much more than that one little phrase. He said, that was his first line of this great message that he preached. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the gift. First words from Jesus at this great sermon. Why was that the first great words he spoke at? Because it got such a wealth of meaning in it. Goodness gravy. I mean, we didn't touch the edge of it yet. But just trying to open up our thinking. Blessed are the poor in spirit. I mean, that's the work that the Holy Ghost does inside of us. Because God can do a work there. That's when peace comes. That's when true happiness, not artificial worldly. I mean, when we're... I remember pulling on lots and I had money in my pocket and I had no need for nothing. I walk on a car lot and I said, I'm going to get that car. Somebody said, no, you ain't. An hour later, I'd be driving it home. It was that easy. See a new guitar I want? I'm going to buy it. And there was some peace and joy and it's like, wow, boy, I got something new. But it never did no real contentment inside. It never could bring. It was nice to have a new thing, new fishing pole, new rod, new gun, you know. Blah. You know, those things feel good, but they don't bring no true lasting peace. Or have a new boat, you know, and you're hitting the water, you're going to your favorite fishing hole. I mean, those things feel good, but they don't bring that true inner peace and happiness that God brings. Somebody look up Philippians 4 and read it to me. 4. So with all prayer and supplication, let your request be made known to God, and the God of peace, which passes all understanding, shall keep. Somebody read that. I don't know what verse it is. It's chapter 4. Yes, read them all out loud. Now that verse, it starts out, be careful for nothing, but in everything. There it is. Paul saying, "Hey, I'm a Pharisee of Pharisees. I'm a Hebrew. The Hebrews I circumcised 8 day. I know the first 5 books of law. I know it by heart. Nobody's smarter than me. And I'm telling you, be careful for nothing." But in everything, prayer and supplication, let your request be made known to God. You see, bring it to Him. There's that humiliating state again where you're bowing before Holy God. Let your request be made known to Him. And the God of peace, which passes all understanding, shall keep. And that word keep is a wonderful word. It literally means a military guard. Somebody marching around my heart and marching around my mind, keeping, guarding my heart, my thoughts. And as Caleb said this morning, you know, there's that Proverbs, what was it? Commit your works to the Lord that thy thoughts be established. Our thought process. And then he used 1 Corinthians, I believe it's 10, where though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. This world constantly pushes in another doctrine of, well, you need this to be happy. You need that to be happy. You need to be in this crowd to be happy. And God says, no, no, you need to cast those things out and bring in truth. You need me. And that's where God wants us. Blessed, happy, most fortunate are the poor in spirit. So it's a great place to be when you're total reliant on Him. None of you exist. It's kind of one of them places to be that we ought to be. And I'm out of time. So when we're emptied of self-confidence, self-importance, and self-righteousness, those things are eliminated. Let's pray. Father, do God bless your word. Father, right on the table of our hearts, oh God, help us to see the importance of the first words of your sermon, Lord. You said, blessed, happy, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Father, there's souls coming in today that need you. There's some here already that need you. Oh God, do a work, please. Show your mighty hand. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.